Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Why? Why does it seem like every time the NFL attempts something new, there are issues with it? Maybe it's just the scope and the scale of what it takes to host an NFL game. And I'm glad that the Mexican football fans, although they, in Hispanic countries, at least the ones that I've been to, they call it football Americano because their football is our soccer. So that's their real football. And whenever I talk about football when I'm in Cuba or other countries, they laugh at me because they don't know anything about our football and they think we know nothing about their football. But it was cool to see 72,000 fans who I guess were rooting for the Chargers, considering this was a Chargers home game, quote unquote. And they put down this brand new natural grass, and the field did in fact support the game, and it was going well. And then all of a sudden, you've got people out there on the field in areas where they're pulling up divots, and as the athletes are attempting to plant and turn, they're kicking up divots. And so members of the grounds crew are then out there on the field during the second half when the action is at a different place or the action is stopped, and they're trying to step on the divots and pat the divots back down. It reminded me of something you might see at a cricket match. Remember Pretty Woman? That scene where they all go out and they stamp down the divots in a break in the match. I guess that was polo. But the whole rule in golf about replacing your own divots, maybe we needed to install that rule for the NFL players. Whenever they had a break, you have to replace your own divots. So I'm glad that there were no serious injuries tied to field conditions. And it's great that the rain stopped because that might have made it worse. And certainly the fact that they got the game, not just underway, but finished it, turned out to be a relatively interesting finish. Although it's kind of a weird game. If you are someone who doesn't know anything about American football, you might have wondered, what are we watching? So yes, no one was injured because of the field conditions, and that's awesome. I'm glad to hear that. However, it does seem like there are always these incredible challenges with putting games on in Mexico. And so, most importantly, they finally got it underway. They finally were able to carry out that series, and it looks like the commissioner of the NFL wants to do it again. Met with the Mexican president, and they've talked about extending the series. But I always worry about the athletes and the field conditions, even though no one had used that field since November 2nd. So they had left the field untouched for more than 2 weeks to try to keep it in pristine condition. And yet still, by the time they got into the second half, there were divots and there were chunks of the grass taken out all over the place. So it's a different type of grass. It's the Aztec grass. It's not maybe the natural grass that is used for fields here, though a lot of them are turf now. But it wrapped up week number 11, and it maybe answered some questions about the Los Angeles Chargers and their prospects moving forward as they've now dropped 5 of their last 7 games. Who are these Chargers and what happened to the team that went 12-4 and competed for the AFC West a year ago? And then for the Kansas City Chiefs, have they also answered some questions? Could this be a turning point for the reigning division champs, a team that hosted the AFC Championship game a few months ago. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the homes of their dreams with their help, and they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Actually, on Monday, I was tweeting more about my dog and the pumpkin muffins that I made. I brought some, by the way. I didn't really like the drizzle. There was a glaze you were supposed to drizzle on them, and I put it on a few. So if you go, no, you can try it, but I didn't think it complemented the muffins well. So I left some plain, and I also made some funny designs out of the drizzle. So for instance, one of them has a pie sign, you know, pie, because I thought my mom would think it was funny. Another one just has a circle of glaze. Just, I don't even know how it's supposed to be a dribble. I'm not good with the icings and the glazes and the, I mean, you remember when I made cupcakes, I had a mountain of frosting on each cupcake because I didn't really know how to make it look pretty. So you can eat a muffin without the drizzle or with the drizzle, but either way, they're really good. They're soft. I had two. I worked out and then I had two muffins. It was my first time making pumpkin bread and pumpkin muffins.
Also, that's awesome.
Yeah, no, I'm really proud of it. I'm trying it out so that I can see if it's something I want to do for Thanksgiving. And also, it was my dog's birthday. And so, of course, there had to be a picture. Because, you know, the dog has no clue it's her birthday. Couldn't care less. But we did take a ride, and we went to the park. And so that made her tired, and she snored the rest of the day. Anyway, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Maybe I'll put the picture up of Penny, that's her name, on our Facebook page as well when we take a break. But we definitely want to talk some football. We've got some big-time basketball performances yet again. Luka Doncic, superstar. Superstar. The guy's not even 21. He is maybe the NBA's version of Lamar Jackson. Some of the stuff he can do out there on the court with that basketball, pretty amazing. Always worth the price of admission. So find us on Facebook or on Twitter, and then our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We will have our Twizzler Tuesday question for you as we head through the show as well. This is something I've never seen before. I can't even remember. I'm sure it's happened before in the NFL, but it blew me away. In the first half on Monday, the Chargers racked up 312 yards, but did not have a touchdown. up and down the field. And then the mistakes, of course, the missed field goal in the first quarter, a couple of interceptions, one of them leading directly to a touchdown. And so 312 yards, only trailing by a point at the half. But that was almost all of their yardage output, and they didn't have a touchdown to show for it. You want to talk about frustrating. Though again, LA was only trailing by a point heading into the halftime locker room, and the Chargers could easily point to the one interception that had happened that gave Kansas City instant red zone, and that was how the Chiefs had scored their only touchdown. And so you can easily spin it as, hey, they wouldn't even have a touchdown. Our defense is playing so well, if not for the fact that we had the interception. Patrick Mahomes certainly looked a lot better in the second half. Like, he was more comfortable. I'm so relieved that he doesn't appear to have any remaining issues, pain, challenges, limitations from that dislocated kneecap. It's almost like it didn't happen. The way he's running around the field, and because of multiple injuries to the Chiefs, some of the Chiefs' offensive players, like Damian Williams, Tyreek Hill, you instead had Patrick Mahomes as the leading rusher for the Chiefs. So all of that good news, all of that to say that he clearly is showing no residual effects from what looked like it could have been a season-ending injury. So there are some positive things to come out of these devastating injuries, are the ones that look so bad. Every now and then we get some good news that we can celebrate. So the MVP, the reigning MVP, back on the field and better than ever. Well, at least in the second half. First half, not so much. But it was good to see him kind of moving around, roaming around, and at times those passes that he just zips up and down the field.
Darrell Williams will run it right side, trying to find a hole. He's inside the five, runs over a Charger, touchdown, Kansas City. The Chiefs go to the two-back. They go right up the gut, and they punch the Chargers in the gut, electrocuting them with the second Chiefs rushing touchdown of the game.
First down, Mahomes. McCoy in the backfield. They're going to throw it deep near side. Kelce caught around, caught it, touchdown, Kansas City. And Mahomes right on the money and just drops the ball into the hands of Kelce. A 23-yard touchdown.
Travis Kelce, fantastic. For a guy that size, and now he's over 6,000 receiving yards in his career, second fastest ever behind Rob Gronkowski, who will have his big announcement on Tuesday. I heard the interview that Tom Brady did with Jim Gray on Westwood One, and Brady says no way he does not think that Gronk is coming back. For what it's worth, Brady doesn't believe that Rob Gronkowski is coming out of retirement. He thinks it's another announcement about his business dealings. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. And so you had a nice rhythm and groove for Mahomes. And the ability to move the ball up and down the field a couple of times, able to take what was a 2-touchdown lead, Chargers answered. And they pull within a score on a Keenan Allen touchdown catch and then had multiple opportunities to score that tying touchdown. The Chargers defense was so good in this game. As much as you had a Patrick Mahomes who does what he does, it was still really impressive to see how the Chargers defense, as much as possible, limited him. I guess you could look at the fantasy numbers if you don't believe me. Patrick Mahomes did not have big fantasy numbers, and that's something that he's usually good for. So LA is trailing by a score and in the fourth quarter, and this is what the Chargers do. Their final four possessions: a 4-and-out, a 3-and-out, an interception after 17 seconds, giving the ball right back to the Chiefs, and then a long drive that puts them in position in the final 30 seconds. They look like they are going to tie this up and potentially give the Mexicans, all the fans, their 72,000, some overtime.
Rivers takes the snap at his belt. Frank Clark coming for him. A fade route right side. It's intercepted! 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 Dirty Dan Sorensen picks it off! One of the biggest interceptions for Dirty Dan's career! And the Chiefs shut the gate on Phillip Rivers! 4 interceptions by Rivers!
Mitch Holtis with the call on the Chiefs radio network. 7 interceptions in the last 2 games for the LA Chargers for Phillip Rivers, and this Monday in Mexico City ending with a thud, and maybe that's also the drawer closing or the door dropping, I guess you could use either one, on the prospects of them making the playoffs. Now, are they completely out of it? Are they mathematically eliminated? No. But it's so crowded in the AFC, in the middle, thick around the middle. It's like the AFC has had too many desserts in 2019. It's bleak. So I'll say the same thing about the Chargers in the AFC West that I've said about the Rams in the NFC West. Though they have different records. Chargers are below 500. Rams obviously are a couple of games above 500. But because the competition is so tight, because there are 2 teams above the Chargers in that West division, they need help. They need assistance. They no longer control their own fate, and they've fallen back into this with 5 losses in 7 games. As for the Chiefs, they're a half game clear of the Raiders in the AFC West, haven't taken their bye yet, so that's coming up. This could potentially be a turning point for them. As much as the defense has gone through transition, I think they only had 6 interceptions all season until Monday when they picked off Rivers 4 times. The pass rush has gotten better. Mahomes is healthy. Now, can Tyreek Hill stay on the field? Damian Williams, who left with a rib injury. Can he get back and healthy? Seems like if it's not one guy from the offense leaving, it's another. But they do have Darrell Williams and Mecole Hardman. They've had guys step up. Can they use this now to move forward and protect that lead atop the AFC West? Coming up on December 1st, after the bye, a game against the Oakland Raiders. So that'll be a good one to look for to kick off the final month of the NFL season. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So here's a question. As I was driving into work, I was thinking, is it time for the Chargers to move on from Phillip Rivers? But then I expanded that question some. I know we're only through week 11, and so there's still many chapters to be written about this NFL season. But looking at what we know now, the evidence that is laid out before us, how many teams in the NFL need to find a new quarterback in the offseason? I know it's only week 11. It's actually almost week 12 now. But would you put the Chargers in the category? Teams in the market for a quarterback. How many are there? Never too early to start shopping. Black Friday's coming up. All right, you can find us on Twitter or Facebook. Also on the phones, 855-212-4227. Off and running we are. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Rivers steps up, sings it up in the middle, intercepted! Intercepted by Matthew at the 30, 25, 20. Honey Badger going left. He's at the 10, stumbles and falls down at the 7. The Honey Badger doesn't care. 34-yard interception return by Tyrann Mathieu, and the Chiefs are in business.
I was real proud of our defense for the job that they did today. I think Frank Clark probably jumps out at you for the job that he did. He had a heck of a game. Four takeaways. The guys that intercepted the football and then helped create the turnovers. I'm proud of those guys.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Andy Reid mic'd up in Mexico City. Kind of interesting to hear the thoughts of Tom Brady at halftime, live with Jim Gray on Westwood One. And I knew it was live because at the beginning they were talking over each other. It's like one of those phone conversations on a cell where there's a bit of a delay and one person starts talking and then the other person jumps in. And then the person who started the conversation hears this awkward pause and keeps talking and they're both talking at the same time. Yeah, it wasn't edited out. It was actually live. Anyway, Brady said that when they went to Mexico City, he was prepared for the altitude to be a huge issue. And then there's also at halftime and beginning of the game, end of the game, you have to walk up what is a fairly steep hill to get to the locker rooms. And so he was saying that they were prepared. He was prepared to be climbing Mount Everest to and from the field. But he almost psyched himself out because it wasn't anywhere near as bad as what he had been led to believe. But there are all kinds of logistical challenges when the NFL hosts games in Mexico. So it's a relief that no one got injured, certainly a relief. Haven't heard about anybody getting sick. Montezuma's Revenge, but they're not supposed to be eating outside the hotels, not supposed to be drinking any of the water, of course. Just typical rules for Americans when we travel to countries, many countries in Central and South America. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So should the Chargers be looking for a new quarterback in 2020? It's an interesting question. And I had even mentioned this on our first show of the work week because Phillip Rivers is not under contract for next season. And he has always indicated that he would like to continue to play as long as he's healthy. He's having a good time. He and his wife have a lot of kids. Some of them are really young still, but some of them are of the age now that they can enjoy their dad and his job and what he does and kind of understand the magnitude of it. He's also indicated that he wants to be part of the Chargers moving into the new stadium in Englewood, which will open next fall. Except that he's now indicated he thinks it's wise just to take some time when the season is over and decide if he wants to continue putting his physical and mental body through this. So that was kind of an interview that he had done in the last several days. He's about to be 38 years old in a few weeks. I think it's first week in December. But maybe the Chargers are looking to move on. Gosh, the end of a long-tenured, high-profile athlete is never easy. Never easy. And very often when the franchise is ready to move on, the player is not. And so Rivers will continue to think about it, will decide what he wants to do, but the Chargers can also decide what they want to do. Are they a team that would like to look somewhere else? Now, I think this time last year, we all would have said, heck no, are you kidding? Philip Rivers is playing like he's 10 years younger. But the results aren't there this year. Is that all on his shoulders? Absolutely not. But the 7 interceptions in the last 2 games, with the season kind of hanging in the balance, dangling there, it makes a difference. And he's the leader of the offense. And once again, the offense tonight, difficult in the red zone, difficult for them to score when the ball's being turned over, when it seems like he's forcing the ball into tight spaces.
Not scoring in the red zone. We got in there once. And twice, I guess. But we just, you know, not scoring in the red zone and turning it over. Man, that gets you beat. That's what's gotten us beat all year.
1 for 4 in the red zone tonight. So now what? Now what? At 4-7, what do you do moving forward?
The only way I know is to fight, and you just keep fighting. Sign up for them all, regardless of what your record is. And we've been in this spot before, and you just keep playing. You never know what can happen, but whether that all happens or not, you just keep fighting.
So, again, they are at 4-7, and we'll have to move the rest of the way through the season, trying to pick up a few more wins, hoping that something, many things, will break their way. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. As for the Kansas City Chiefs, with the Oakland Raiders hot on their heels, this could, in fact, be a springboard for them, an opportunity for them to look forward now and feel like they're in a much better place than they were a month ago. And part of that is because Pat Mahomes is healthy and because they're a team that can make adjustments like they did at halftime when they were ahead by a point but had been beaten in really every statistical category.
Me being a little too over-aggressive, there was times where you saw in the second half, I kind of just took the checkdowns and hit the running backs out of the backfield when I had those early in the game. And so just kind of going back and reevaluating myself during the game, during halftime, and realizing that if they're going to get depth and they're going to kind of take away our shots, that if we're going to have to just kind of take what's there, and then whenever we get the opportunities like we had with Kelce in the red zone there, you take advantage of those.
It does help that they have depth at the running back position, LeSean McCoy being part of that. But they also have a Darrell Williams who can step in for Damian Williams when he got hurt. Clearly, the Kansas City Chiefs are not looking for a new quarterback in the offseason. So it might be easier to check off the teams that aren't looking for a new quarterback come January. Because we were listing some in the newsroom, and there certainly are a bunch of teams that may try to decide if the grass is greener somewhere else, or if they hope the grass is greener somewhere else. That's the issue with quarterbacks. Because it's the most impactful position on the field, it's not just about who you have. It's about who is available if you decide to move on. And while there certainly could be some really talented players coming out in this draft, Joe Burrow has made a name for himself at LSU. This season has turned himself into a quarterback that a lot of teams are looking at, a guy who will come out after spending his full career in college, so a little more mature, a little smarter. Don't know about Tua Tagovailoa. We'll wait to see. But he did have his surgery on Monday and is expected to make a full recovery. But the draft is a crapshoot, And it takes some time to rebuild with a rookie. Just ask the Arizona Cardinals. Ask the Cleveland Browns. Ask the New York Jets. I mean, we could go on and on about the young quarterbacks who are still getting their feet wet in the NFL. But there are teams out there that are willing to be patient because they know they have their franchise guy. So what teams in the NFL should be looking for a new QB this offseason? Now, it's an opinion question, obviously. But you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter, After Hours CBS.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Doncic to the right to Finney-Smith. He'll drive on DeRozan, kick it to Curry, fake right, go left, back to his right as Forbes stays with him with eight to shoot. Curry looking, backdoor cut, Doncic, nice catch in traffic, and he got the layup. Looking with the ball over his head, now at his waist, driving to his right, in the lane and through the lane to Finney-Smith, shot fake, good closeout by DeRozan, kick it back out to Doncic, step back over Murray for three, he hits. Here is Doncic again, back pedals, dribbles, hits another three-pointer over Derek Wright.
Luka's only the second guy under the age of 21 to have a 40-point triple-double along with LeBron James, which is pretty special. So he was phenomenal all night long.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Cool moment for Luka Doncic because he grew up idolizing LeBron James on the basketball court. And as you hear head coach Rick Carlisle say, the Dallas Mavericks superstar now is in the same category with LeBron when it comes to a 40-point triple-double because Doncic is the second youngest. In fact, they're the only two players ever to have 40-point triple-doubles before turning 21 years old. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Also a career high for Luka with the 42 points, 12 assists, 11 rebounds. This guy can do it all on the court. In his 35 minutes of play, he spurs the Mavericks past the Spurs, and it's kind of cool. It's been a while for the Mavericks to be above 500 and to be a contender. So their fans have waited. Of course, they made the trade for Kristaps Porzingis last year and decided not to play him in the second half of the season to make sure that he was fully recovered from the ACL, but KP with 18 points and 10 rebounds, so a double-double of his own. I'm excited for the Mavericks. I'm excited that Doncic had a bit of an education about the NBA. Before Dirk Nowitzki retired, he got to play with the best, and I love their relationship and how that blossomed over last season. Chuck Cooperstein is the voice of the Dallas Mavericks on their radio network. It's not the NBA that we talked about a year ago. And it's not just the Warriors. Obviously, a lot has changed, especially in the Western Conference, but certainly in the Eastern Conference as well. Various superstars changing teams. Kemba Walker getting acclimated with the Boston Celtics. Of course, the Toronto Raptors as defending NBA champs, not having Kawhi, but still feeling like they have a really good team. The Knicks beat the Cavaliers. Woo! No one needs to watch those two teams more than a handful of times on the court together, at least not in 2019 or 2020. But it's kind of interesting. The feel is so different in the NBA because it is so wide open. It's not about who's going to match up with Golden State Warriors, although I guess it could be the Spurs. Who's going to match up with the Warriors? Who's going to push the Warriors the hardest in the West? And who will the Warriors take on in the NBA Finals? While that may be the story down the road, when the core is back together, though, I don't know if they'll ever recapture that same lightning in a bottle. But there truly is this sense of, I have no idea who are going to be the best teams and which teams are truly going to challenge for an NBA title. And you've got teams that are hot out of the gate. You've got teams that are above 500 that haven't been in a while. But there's such a long way to go, and so much can happen. I mean, even the Celtics. Gordon Hayward started out with this incredible first couple weeks and then breaks a hand. Now, according to the Clippers, Kawhi Leonard is dealing with a legit knee injury, or at least he's re-aggravated the knee injury that they'd been managing for the last couple of weeks or since the start of the season. You know, he hadn't played in back-to-backs, but now he hasn't played in, what, three games? In fact, he and Paul George brought in to play together, right? This was the idea. Two superstars. Let's challenge in the West, and yet the Clips haven't seen PG or Kawhi on the court together yet this season. 14 games in, there's a long way to go. But they haven't been on the court together in a game that matters. Meanwhile, it's been a long time since the Lakers were pacing the field in the West. So Lakers and Rockets on top. Rockets, of course, largely due to what we have seen from James Harden in the first month.
Ahead to Harden, pulls back, shoots over Little a three, and it is right down the middle. 14 for Harden, his second three, and the Rockets are up seven. Rockets come the other way. Harden nearly spins himself out of the dribble, gets it back, and then fires up an open three from the Aya Toyota Center on the far side of the floor. It goes. That's now 19 for Harden. The Rockets in the middle of a 13-4 run. Back to Harden with six on the shot clock. Rockets are killing the Blazers on the glass. Harden blows by Hood, gets to the rim, and scores with the left hand. You can't double when you move that fast.
The James Harden heroics. Night to night, he is setting yet another torrid pace, an MVP-like pace out of the gate. 36 points for him against the Blazers to go along with 6 rebounds, 5 assists. A triple-double for Russell Westbrook, though he didn't shoot well, but that's kind of par for the course with him. 3 of 11 from beyond the arc, 9 of 26 overall, but because of the volume of shots that he takes, he usually ends up filling up the stat sheet anyway. But all 5 of the starters in double figures for the Rockets, and they're now 11-3. Craig Ackerman on the Rockets Radio Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. I feel like Russell Westbrook has become the hype man for James Harden. Maybe a little bit like Mark Ingram for Lamar Jackson following another huge performance from Lamar on Sunday. It's seriously, I told you, one of my favorite pieces of sound. Hashtag squad goals. Well, Russell Westbrook doesn't sing, but his point is the same. Don't be overlooking what's happening with James Harden right now.
Amazing. I think that a lot of people like to normalize greatness when you see it over and over again, but it's not normal because there's nobody else that can do it. If it was normal, everybody would do it. He's put himself in position to be able to be one of the best offensive scorers of all time because of the way he's able to score the ball at a high level in a variety of different ways.
Don't normalize greatness. Don't take it for granted is what Russ is saying. Harden has scored at least 30 points in 8 straight games. And listen to this. He leads the league by averaging a career high 39.2 points per game. Nerd alert! Exactly. Can you imagine if he keeps up that pace? Do you know who the second highest scorer in the league is right now? Well, it's the reigning MVP. And he was up to his old tricks on Monday.
90 seconds to play. Giannis goes to work and scores with a foul. Big, long, right-hand lean. 112-101. Giannis with 33. A power move to the basket. Nobody could stop him.
That was his final bucket. 33 points, 10 rebounds for Giannis. As the Bucks were on the road at the Chicago Bulls. So the Bucks are out to a great start as well at 10-3. But it's not just Giannis. As much as there's been a lot of talk about where would the help come from, they've had some changes, of course, on their roster. George Hill has been coming off the bench and providing good minutes, great points, and actually got a little pep talk from the MVP beforehand.
Giannis before the game, you know, really coming up to me, telling me the things that I've been telling him when he's missing his threes and stuff, to stop hesitating, just let it go, trust it, because we know he can make it. And, you know, during warm-ups, he came to me and said, hey, the same thing you've been telling me, you start hesitating. So just let it fly. We know that you're one of the best shooters on this team to keep going.
I love that. Hashtag let it fly, baby. Hill 4 of 7 from beyond the arc. So Giannis is averaging 30.3 points per game, which is second best in the NBA. Think about it. Harden, more than 39 points per game. Giannis averaging 30 points per game, which is pretty darn good. But held up against what James Harden is doing to start the season, a lot pales in comparison. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We know that Carmelo Anthony has reemerged onto the scene in the NBA. So Melo speaks about this process of joining the Portland Trailblazers.
All of this started on a Wednesday. I got the call Wednesday, thought about it. Then Thursday, that Thursday was a commitment, right? It was, okay, I'm ready to do this. If you guys, you know, really want to make this happen, I'm open. Let's really get serious about this. Let's make something happen, which led to the next day, which was a Friday, which they wanted me to come and get right into it. Let me just get 3-4 days of just like getting back into it mentally and emotionally. I had, you know, almost detached myself from the game a little bit just to give myself some sanity and not think about it. But once I got that call, the challenge was for me to just flip that back mentally.
He calls this the perfect opportunity with the Portland Trailblazers. And I can certainly understand what he's saying. That's Carmelo Anthony on his YouTube channel. At 35 years old, not knowing if there would be another opportunity in the NBA, he had to detach himself. Remember, he only played 10 games with the Rockets last year. He kind of got kicked off the team, released, traded to Chicago, but that wasn't for anything. He was waived on February 1st. And so he says the process started last Wednesday and that he had to flip that switch, committed on Thursday, but needed a couple of days to let it soak in because he couldn't just jump right back into it. Mentally, he wasn't there. He needed some time. And I appreciate that he says emotionally as well. There have been times in my career where I've had to step away from hosting a radio show or not doing play-by-play. I went through a season and a half of not doing any basketball play-by-play, and it felt like a part of me was missing because it's something that I love. It's my career dream. And to go a year, a full season and a half without doing any basketball play-by-play, it was like, it was devastating. And so I can understand Melo wanting to play basketball so badly, not sure if he'd ever get another opportunity. In order to survive and to not be so dragged down, you do have to detach yourself from it. But now here he is with the Portland Trailblazers, getting another chance to go out in a blaze of glory. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.